The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a stretch of level ground. A great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And even those who were tormented by unclean spirits were cured. Everyone in the crowd sought to touch him, because power came forth from him and healed them all. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. What I thought we'd do this morning is we'd talk about our first reading. First reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, because we've been hearing from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians every day now for about a week, and we've got a few more days of it left. And I realize that when people hear these letters of Paul, they often don't know what they're about. And you really should know what they're about, because they're really helpful. So how about real briefly we just learn a little bit about St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, okay? Here we go. In what's now the west of Turkey, there used to be three little villages, three little cities, I should say. These cities were Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. And the people who lived in these three little cities, collectively they were known as the Colossians. And these are the people that St. Paul's writing this letter to. Now, among the Colossians at this time, there's a real popular idea that was going around the towns, that Jesus Christ and his gospel and his message was one helpful idea among many. That was the idea. And people said, well, you know, Christ, he's a very useful philosophy, but one among many. And the gospel, it's very helpful spirituality, but one among many. Kind of a contemporary idea when you think of it like that, isn't it? Well, this is what St. Paul wrote when he wrote his letter to the Colossians. He wrote and he said, no, amigos, sorry, that's not true. Jesus Christ is not one idea among many. Spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ is all that you need. And you could say that the heart of the letter of the Colossians was in our first reading today, where St. Paul tells these people, look, be rooted in Christ. Be built upon Christ. It's a very important idea to remember. Kind of reminds me of something St. Augustine once said, in which he said that if you love God together with anything else in this world and you don't love that something else for God's own sake, then you don't love God enough. You don't love God enough. Be rooted in him. It's a real good day to realize that we need to ask ourselves this question. What are we rooted in? And by rooted, I mean this. From where in your life do you draw your strength? From where in your life do you draw your sense of stability? Now, everybody's rooted in something. Question is, what are you rooted in? Good question to ask. Some people say, well, I'm rooted in my family. It's not bad. Believe me, that's not bad. It's just that that's not deep enough. People say, well, I'm rooted in my friends. I'm rooted in all my good relationships. Don't get me wrong, that's not bad. It's just that's not deep enough. Why? Because your roots are not deep enough if you're rooted in anything that you can lose. This is why we want to be rooted in Jesus Christ. Eventually, what? We're going to lose everything, aren't we? Eventually, we're going to lose it all. Real frivolous example, kind of a lighthearted example of that. I was talking to a man once who was really upset because his wife was driving the whole family crazy. Little by little, she was Well, she was losing all of her youthful good looks, and this really upset her. And so she would make the whole family, what, eat the latest diet, right? The latest protein, driving everybody crazy. And then the man was all upset, and he comes and talks to me and says, I wish she'd realize that it doesn't matter what you do, eventually gravity always wins. Just let it go. You want to know what you're rooted in life? You want to know what you're rooted in? Ask yourself this question. What upsets you? What disturbs your peace? Your roots, we tend to defend our roots against all threats. You want to know what you're rooted in? Ask yourself, what upsets your peace? You know what's going to happen? God often sends storms into our lives to cause us to become uprooted. Why? So that we'll be more rooted in Him. You ever imagine that in a time of crisis, you'd be the one to keep your head? A lot of people imagine this. Time of crisis, a time of discontent and upset. Everybody else is losing their head, but not you. You're keeping yourself nice and level-headed. Well, it's easy to imagine how you'd act in a time of crisis, but you'll come to discover it's an entirely different thing to actually act in a time of crisis. And you want to know the one who really keeps his cool when everything's falling down around him. It's the one who's rooted in something that can't be lost. Rooted in something that can't be lost. A root is a great metaphor. You can't see it. You can only see what it produces. Like green leaves in a time of terrible drought or famine, like strong stability and strength, even in the harshest storms, these are the fruits of those who are rooted in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a blessing to everyone who knows us, and that's who we want to become. The gospel tells us that everybody in the crowd was reaching out to Jesus because power came forth from him, and he healed them all. Let's pray now that we become even more rooted in Christ, that his power will strengthen and heal us for our good, for the good of those we love, and for the praise and glory of God the Father. Amen.